and his men went to Jerusalem, unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, and spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking that David cannot come in hither. But nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the ford and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward. And David went on and he grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. I'd like you to turn with me for one more reading that I want to bring in connection with that this morning, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I've heard a lot of preachers speak along these lines, but I want to bring it in connection with what we just read. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 this morning. I want to say it's good to have my wife with me today and my family. Praise God. I've got family back here and I want to keep them good today, man. But my wife doesn't get to go with me a lot because of our two sons and our way our schedule where I have to go. And so I'm glad she's with me. Praise God. I'm glad she and the boys are with me. I've got still the two boys, beautiful boys, look just like their mother. Praise God. So I'm glad to have my family with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for this great church. I thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. But God, more than anything, I have to have the anointing. I have to have your help. I ask for conviction to move in this service. I ask for Holy Spirit you to touch people and to minister unto them where their need is. We ask this and believe this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said with me, amen and amen. You know, it's a big responsibility in revivals when you come and you want to say what you need to say, what the Holy Spirit wants you to say. I pondered over in my mind yesterday and this morning praying, and I want to touch upon an area this morning that for the moment it's not a real shouting area, and it's not that easy to preach some of these things, but I believe it's what God wants us to say. The devil is out to erect strongholds in your life. He is out to take your joy away, take your victory away, take your happiness away, and make your life miserable. Amen. That's his job. And whether you realize it or not, we are in a battle. You're in a battle. Amen. Now, I know there's some people that say, well, Brother Pritchard, I know we have problems with the devil. He can test our stand for Christ. If I pray enough, and I read the Bible enough, and if I say enough right things, will he leave me alone? No, that's when he'll really come at you. Lady got one time, I don't know if I told you before, and I was in Atlanta, and she said that, well, pray for me. She said that I won't have any more trouble with the devil. She came up 2 or 3 nights asking for this. Pray for me, I won't have any more trouble with the devil. Finally, I said, all right, I'll take care of it for you. And I laid hands on her, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal this woman immediately. And I don't want to die. And I said, well, that's the only way you won't have any more trouble with the devil. You have some problems. You have the enemy contested. But there's victory through it all. Hallelujah. He wants to erect strongholds within you, separate you from your experience with Jesus Christ, take your joy away, take your victory. And while I'm on that, you know, that's what this Christianity is all. It's joy. Oops. Hallelujah. So old Peter said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if you're a Christian and you know Christ, you ought to be happy. Amen? And the devil's out to rob you of that joy, take your victory away, and erect strongholds within your life. But I'm glad that in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we have the victory. The Christian life's a conflict. Satan hates you. He despises you. But I'm glad that in this conflict and in this battle, we have weapons. Glory to God. Now, there's some people today that get confused on what their weapons are. Some people think that their weapons are large buildings. Some people think it's carpeted floors. Some people think it's trained choirs. Some people think that it's a big promotion. Some people think that it's talents or abilities that the pastor or the evangelist or somebody else possesses. But I'm glad that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. In Him, praise God. In Him is our victory, praise God. Now, some people think, well, you know, we have victories, we have strongholds. The key is, if the enemy kind of throws something at you and defeats you and oppress you, don't let that become a part of you and dictate to you where you are spiritually. I think of that great man Paul and Silas, brother that went along with him, preached Jesus Christ. And you know, us evangelists, we have to appreciate Paul. Because when he went into town, he didn't go to the Holiday Inn. He went down and checked out the jails in the town. Wanted to see how they were, because he knew it was just a matter of time, so he would be there. Amen? Praise God for Paul. Hallelujah. But anyway, Paul was a great man, but he's out preaching the gospel, doing what he ought to do for Jesus Christ, and they throw him and Silas in jail. But I'm so glad at the midnight hour, the Bible tells me that they sung praises unto God, and revival broke out down in the prison cell. And the key to this is they didn't let that stronghold, they didn't let that situation, they didn't let the prison get in them. Glory to God. Instead, they were who they were in Christ. They were victorious over a certain bad situation. So mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'll tell you this, this is very old-fashioned stuff here, but where you are, how you're prayed up will be how you go through them. If you're prayed up, you can go through it pretty good, come out with victory. But if you hadn't been prayed up in a while, we hear that a lot. You know, I've heard that all since I was growing up in church, you know, and praying through. Brother, that you can pray through. And the reason, I'll be honest with you, that a lot of people have the problems they do today is because they're not prayed through. When I pastored, I didn't have to beg people to get in the choir that were prayed through. Amen? Might cut off sometimes. And you know, you don't have, when you're prayed through, you're a different person. Your attitude's different. And you love everybody. Amen. And so if you're at the place you need to be in Christ, you can march through that thing. But if you're not, you know what you're going to do? You're going to whine. You're going to complain. You're going to say, I don't know why this is happening to me. You're going to say, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. And you're going to be in a bad shape. But if you're where you ought to be in Him, you can march through it with victory. Now, when we come to strongholds, now, whatever the stronghold might be, and I'll mention some this morning, and there's some that I may not mention, but whatever the stronghold might be, there's some people that say, and go to God and say, God, I want you to take the desire away from me. If there's a certain stronghold, whatever it might be, I don't know. Take this desire, this thing that's destroying me, that's breaking me down. Take the desire away from me. Well, God, to be honest with you, He won't do that. Well, now, wait a minute, brother. What are you talking about here? Now, stay with me. Because, you see, if God takes the desire away from me, now, listen, we almost would become like a robot. You see, you're a free moral agent. Amen? You do what you want to do. What God will do is give you power over the thing to live victorious over it. Hallelujah. But, you know, if you want to go back to it, you could. Amen? I mean, I've lived for God quite a while, not as long as a lot of you here, but some of you here, you've lived for God for years. You've invested in the kingdom of God. You have worked for God. You have ministered for God. You have done so. But if you wanted to, now I know you don't want, but if you wanted to, you can get up from this church this morning. You can walk out these doors, turn your back on God, and go to the depths of sin if you want to. Amen? Because you make a choice. You have a freedom of choice. God created us that way. He doesn't make anybody do anything. That's why if you're here this morning and you love God, that's why he loves you so much, because you're doing it because you want to. Hallelujah. I don't serve God because I have to. I don't preach because I have to. I don't worship because I have to. I don't pray because I have to. I do because I want to. Because there's something on the inside of me that is alive. Hallelujah to God. I don't want to become mechanical. Along these lines, I find like so many people become mechanical. When I cry, I want to know why I'm crying. When I shout, I want to shout because there's something on the inside of me that's real and alive and precious. I don't want to become mechanical in my preaching. I want that anointing of God to flow from me. Hallelujah. You are what you are because you want to be. If you want to come to revival, you will. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, you got four nights of this. Stay with me. Hallelujah. If you want to come to revival, you will. If you don't want to, you won't. Amen. Praise God. I remember growing up, you know, my folks just, they didn't know any better. You just supposed to come. Young people, huh? I remember trying to sometimes not feel too good. Well, I have to be honest with you. But anyway, I remember, you know, and my folks grew up church in Claymore, and Brother Haymaker for a long time. And put a red out. And I remember when I was too late, sometimes I'd ask, it only worked one time. I tried it once. It only worked. I just tried it once. I said, Dad, I'm not feeling good. So I have to go to church tonight. He said, Son, are you really going? Oh, Dad. He said, are you just at the place? Oh, Dad, am I? He said, well, great. I thought, praise God, I'm going to get to He said, I got great news for you. In just a few moments, it won't take, we don't live but just a few blocks. We're going to be at church. And Brother Haymaker will take that oil like he does and anoint it, and you'll be well. So, my folks, they just made their mind up. There's a big key. Making your mind up. You're going to live for God. That's why, and I'm going to touch on the word, but that's why a lot of people are like a teeter totter in the church. They're up and down, in and out. One week you see them, they're just, they're just hallelujah. And the next time you see them, they're just all they can do. It's because they've never really made their mind up that Jesus will be number one. He's going to be number one in their lives, number one in their home. The church is going to be part of them. They're going to schedule things around the church. The church isn't going to be scheduled around them. See, we live in a society today where we try to schedule the church around our stuff. Don't shout me down. Amen. And so it's important that we don't let strongholds become a part of that we are free moral agents, that we make our mind up to serve God, that we let the Holy Spirit give us power over anything the devil tries to throw at us. And as I said, one big stronghold is that stronghold of no joy, no victory, no happiness, and no excitement. Living for Jesus is exciting. I believe that if there's one thing our churches need as much as anything, it is a revival of excitement. It is a revival of enthusiasm. When people get enthused about the things of God, and the way you get enthused about the things of God is spending time with God. Ooh, that's the way you get enthused. It's not something that you can turn on and off like a light, Well, excitement, Jesus, You get enthused about the things of God as you spend time with him. The more you pray, the closer I get to God, the more I want from God. Amen. And so we need a revival of enthusiasm. And the devil wants to take it away. And some places he has. And it breaks my heart to see, and I know it's not the situation here, but let it be a warning, but the devil has taken some enthusiasm and some victory and some joy and some excitement of living for Jesus. One man said one time, you preachers are always preaching on the big sins or lying or stealing or cheating or adultery or murder or something. And those are terrible sins. Because, you see, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. But the devil is continually probing your armor, looking for a weak spot. And nobody's immune to that. I mean, he's always probing your armor. He looks for a weak spot, looks for a place where he can put that wedge and separate you from the things of God. Amen. And there's some strongholds that are not pleasant to think about it, but there's true, those people that have let strongholds become a part of them. They've let them come in their spirit. It's like a festering sore, and it separated them from the things of God. I think about a stronghold of bitterness. I know some people that are bitter. I know some people that won't come around the altar and pray if another brother is there, so-and-so's down there. I will not go because he owes me $15 that I loaned him in 68. Well, if he's dumb enough to loan it to him, you ought to have. Don't let it become, but you'd be surprised how little things build up into big things, bitterness. I think about the stronghold of a lot of people is gossip. I know some people that can sit in Tulsa and lick Albuquerque. Amen. It becomes a stronghold to talk bad, to run things down, to criticize, to complain, and it's so easy to get like that. It's easy to get, and a lot of people have gotten in a habit, and they don't even know about it. But they need victory because it is destroying them slowly. It causes them to not have God's best. Amen. God talking, forming opinions. I've been bad about that. I've had to go to God and ask God to forgive me for it. I was in a service the other day, and we're in a pastor, I forgot what the prayer was, a pastor, a meeting or something, a bunch of preachers, and this one preacher was going to preach. I didn't know him very good, and I was doing mornings or something, I forgot, and I just kind of met him. I told a friend of mine, I said, "Is he preaching?" He said, "Yeah." I said, he can't preach. He said, "Have you heard him?" I said, "No," but I said, "Just look at him, he said he can't preach." He got up and preached the stars out of the sky. I first won the altar. Amen. So you have to be careful that you don't. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's easy to sit back and these things become strongholds. We sit around and we complain with God. We criticize. It becomes jealousy. It can become a big stronghold. It can become a big stronghold in your marriage. It can become a stronghold sometimes in the church. Now, Jimmy will not be going home with John and his folks anymore on Sunday because he got the thing once more than he did last night. Tell him it's all sweet. Amen? Please, again. I'd be best if he didn't turn around with John anymore because when that thing happened, you were better. I may not be here tonight. I think I may have to start anyway. And if we're not, I ran across the phone the other day, but I'm way off somewhere. Somebody asked me, "Where are your friends?" And I always use it, "I'm from where I'm talking," because I say Barbersville, Palmer, Eagle Dog, they kind of look at me like that's some new breakfast cereal, something. So I just say, "Well, I'll come around talking." And they see me. And I came across Phil the other day, and he's a very, just fluffy party, just very cranky, and just. And he said, "George, the minister here at the camp meeting," he said, where are you from?" I said, "Well, I'm Tulsa." "Tulsa? We're all congregating in Tulsa." He said, "That's where that Israel rabbit is." And stay with me. I'm walking her angel through the crowd right now. Trying to make a point. Stay with me. And, what do you think about him, brother? Well, you know, I don't know Paul Robbie. I mean, I haven't had coffee with him lately. I don't know him, but it just kind of made me mad, you know. And I looked at him and I said, well, brother, I don't know Paul Robbie. I said, the only thing I know is he's reaching 4 or 5 million people a week. That's more than the 26 he's been running for 32 years. Stay with me now. Whew! It's on tape, uh-oh. But what I'm trying to get over is, I don't want to be critical of anybody. I don't want to be jealous of anybody. I want to be for people. I want to help people. You understand? It's so easy to sit back and be mad at the situation you're in and always looking at somebody else and saying, well, if I was out of the game of that, I don't want that stronghold to become a part of me. I want to stay free in my spirit. I want to have love in my spirit. I want to be able to reach out in the anointing of God like I ought to be in your faith. Amen? So don't let that become a stronghold. Bitterness and jealousy and envy, and those things can get a hold of you and they can destroy you. Well, King Saul was a great king. He stood head and shoulders above every man in Israel, but he never was able to defeat the Jebusites. They were his stronghold. And the Jebusites were a people that were very wicked. They were evil people. They were wicked people. They took a hold of the city of God, as I read to you there, and sin was running rampant in the city. They offered up human sacrifices to gods of wood and stone. They were wicked, evil people. King Saul never could defeat the Jebusites. But I like what old King David did when he became king. There's a real key in what old David did. I like David. Glory to God. When David became king, you know what he did? First thing, he just made his mind up. He said, I want to tell you, I'm sick and tired, folks, of these Jebusites running rampant around here. I'm sick and tired of them running over our people. He said, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to take an army. We're going to go up. We're going to defeat the Jebusites, and God's going to reign around here again. Ooh, hallelujah. Give us some people that'll make their mind up that they're going to hate sin and going to stand for what's right and going to move in that direction. They're going to make their mind up. We're going to have the victory. We need some people today that'll stand up like David and call sin sin. Amen. I'm not on a hobby horse or a bandwagon, but this Bible's for everybody. And there's some things in it just so black and white. And I'm gonna try to live by it. I'm not gonna say, well, I don't know if it's for today or if it was for yesterday. I'm gonna do my best to live by it. Sin is still sin. It separates you from God and what Christ you have. David made his mind up. We're gonna have victory. That is a big key. Making your mind up. This morning, if you sat here, there's a stronghold. I don't know. I may not admit it. I don't know what it might be. But you know in your spirit, because the Holy Spirit will tell you about it. We've been praying for that. And He'll tell you what it is. He'll bring it up to you in your mind for you to think. If there's a stronghold there in your life, you'll have to make a decision that you're going to make your mind up. This year is for me. Hallelujah. I heard about an old gentleman one time when our church was up in Denver, Colorado, and he went down to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit one night. He'd been speaking for the baptism for a few weeks. He said, every time, this is just his own situation, but he said, every time he'd get near the Holy Spirit, he said, those old cigarettes that I've been using would just jump up just like almost in my face and wave like a windshield. And he said, finally, I just got mad. It's good to get mad sometimes. Get mad at the devil, you know. Don't get mad at the person across the aisle. Your enemy's not your mother-in-law, are you? or the pastor or the church. Your enemy's the devil. He got mad. He said, devil, jump up now. He said, I'm going to tell you. I'm tired of it. Every time I get near it, you throw that jump up at me. He said, I'm just going to tell you right now tonight, I'm tired. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. And now when you start making some great statements to say, don't think the devil's going to go, ooh, I'm going to hide now. He means it. Now he'll come out your hall then. Amen. So here he said, went to bed that night, turned praise down and get the Holy Ghost. I'm sitting with. I'm seated. I'm getting sleep. And got up the next morning, pretty sleep at our chest in the night. The swell went up, he said, man, about 5 or 10 of them, he said, the devil just come out of history at him. He said, you know, if you take that tobacco you've been using and stuff it down there in the abscess teeth, all that pain will go away. He said, I spoke right out loud. I said, devil, you fell up the other side. And I'm getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he's living out trying to farm, so he walked out towards his barn. He had a couple of people working for him. And said, I just went in and left it, but there's a cigarette laying right there in the path, just been lit. Devil, I'm telling you again, I'm getting the Holy Ghost today. Just found something. Yeah. About 1:30 in the afternoon, so he went down the mailbox to pick up his mail. Got down there to the highway station wagon drove up. Man, got to have a station wagon, because I didn't know this man. So he looked at me and he said, sir, said, I'm on the way in here to give. He said, I just saw you out here from this mailbox. And he said, I just thought to myself, said, I'm told him his name. And he said, I'm a distributor for a new brand of cigarettes that my company just put out. And I thought to myself, now there's a man that would love to have a partner for this. So he said, he got out of the car, handed me the carton of cigarettes, drove off, best time ever went, but he said, I got to come out. But I just took that carton of cigarettes and slammed it down on the highway and started jumping up and down on it. But he said, you know what? About the fifth time I came down, I was speaking about the tongue as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Oh, it makes a difference when you make your mind up. I mean, God will help you, but you first of all got to decide you want victory. You first of all have got to decide that you want victory over it. Amen. There's a key there. God will help you if you'll pursue him, if you'll let him help you, but you've got to also do something. You have a lot of responsibility in our life. Now, I think a lot along these lines, they come as churches. We want everybody else to feel us and bless us, but we don't want to do anything. We want to come in and just kind of flop down and come on, Pastor, the choir. Reel me and jerk me and send me on my way, give me. But you see, you got to do some things too. Amen? It's important. And it's going to speak all day. That cross my worst enemy and your best friend. Just that. Feeling worth loving. He can carry me next to him. But God knows how to take a stronghold and make it a strong point. He really does. He took a bad spirit, Saul, who was later turned to Paul, a man that tortured people, a man that hated Christianity. He wrote 13 books with him. He knows how to take strongholds and make them strong points with your love. A young man was in a service, not long ago. He was on his way from Miami, Florida. And he stopped off and he did his concern. He was coming, there was in the Bible that time, I told you about this, he came and he sat down in the church. The Holy Spirit moved that night very wonderful, very powerful. The pastor went back and asked him if he'd like to come to the altar and find Jesus Christ. He looked up the pastor and said, Pastor, I don't have time for God. He said, I appreciate your help. I'm just here busy some things of mine. I'm on my way to Miami, Florida, so I'm concerned. He said, my family and I have always had a lot of food, but this year, we're just getting ready, in fact, we're just starting out to harvest one of the largest beef crops that Kansas has ever had, he said, and it will almost make me a millionaire overnight. And he said, I've never been able to get out and do much, but he said, man, I'm going to go to Miami and just travel around, so I'm going to take food, I'm going to get this gold myself, because what the world has, to accept. The pastor was heartbroken. Much of the pastor and the evangelist amazed that he was back the next year. He and get raised like he said he was born. But that night he left the aisle and found Jesus Christ, his personal Savior. And he didn't know a lot of gospel songs, but he kind of knew a little bit of Amazing Grace. So he sang Amazing Grace. And he left singing it that night, and pastor and everybody was real praising God. Well, about 7 o'clock the next morning, the pastor's phone rang, and it was his family and some friends from Kansas, and they were trying to locate him. They had lost the number where he was staying and the motel where he was staying. They couldn't find him, but he called that night and told him he'd been a church boy, all the things that he happened, you know, and the pastor and everybody was just good friends, and he found Jesus Christ. And so they said, "Pastor, can you tell us where he is? We've got to get a hold of him." And the pastor told him where he was, and he said, "I don't want to sound nosy, but is there anything wrong?" And they said, "Well, Pastor, I don't know if he told you, but he was getting ready to harvest a large crop of wheat." The place had locusts. Born men and moved on in on us the other night, and it strips us clean. We don't have a clean. The pastor was just isn't it just wonderful? The pastor said, "Yes." He said, "I've got to tell you something." He said, "We're getting here." "Did you find the car, man? They're getting tired of calling you in a moment. Not tell you what I'm calling." But he said, "Last night, the pastor said, locusts moved in on your feet shot and they shook you too. You didn't have it." The pastor was waiting for a response to stop. He said, "Boy, kept right on kind of halfway through." "Well, yeah," I said, "but they called me. They got these out here. They told me about it." "What's the big deal?" I said, "What do you mean?" "So what?" He said, "I'm just," he said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, it could be." But he said, "Yeah, I went down the aisle last night and I heard you and your band was talking about giving Jesus everything. Well, I just did it. And I think when I got this call, if Jesus wants to raise locusts where I read it, that's all right with me." I said, "Well, wait. Now you know the world, they can't understand you. Now the world would have blown their brains out. They'd have jumped off bridges, jumped off high buildings. But thank God they something. I know it's not easy sometimes, but they feel something about the child of God that can move on. The enemy tries to put a stronghold on us, but the power of God comes in and just makes us stronger. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to stop there. The next year, they harvested twice the amount they were doing. And I want you to know that he can take something that looks like it's impossible. Oh, hallelujah. You might think your stronghold is too great, but it is not. As Pastor Hitler said the other day, you're in the right place.
You're in the right place for sin. You couldn't be in a better place than right here at this church. God wants to help you. You've got time for God. You've got time for Him. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your Holy Spirit. Oh God, we have tried to share some things from our heart. Through that anointing of your Spirit. God, I pray that Lord, your word will become alive within people. I ask for the anointing, God, to reach out to him, touch people. God, people to respond to the moving, the wound of the Spirit. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Every head is bowed for a moment of the eyes closed. I'd like to ask you a very general question today. I don't want to get into categories. I want to ask you a very just general question and be honest with God. If you're here this morning, you would say, Brother Percy, I have a stronghold or some strongholds. Maybe I haven't mentioned, but they are keeping you from God's death. They are keeping you from the real perfect will of God in your life. And you would say, I want you to pray for me. I want this church. I want this pastor to pray for me. Would you lift up your hand and let me see it? Obey God. Come on. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Who else would obey God? Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Anybody else, please obey God this morning. I'm speaking to a few others today. Just for a few moments. Please respond to the Holy Spirit. Don't leave this morning not responding to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do within you. Anybody else? You lift your hand. Brother Percy, pray for me. God bless you, man. Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. God bless your heart. We're not here to embarrass you. We're only here for one thing. That is to reach out and love and help you and believe God with you. I sit where you sit. I had to say, God, I need victory over strongholds in my life, and I'm so glad that I made a pursuit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, everybody, please? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Sing it with me. Heartache, broken pieces, ruin lives of life, you died on Calvary, your death is what I long for. Hallelujah. Oh, heartache, broken pieces, ruin lives of life. You died on Calvary. Your death is what I long for. Sing it one more time. I'm going to ask you to pursue God. I'm going to ask you to come and stand with us and let us pray a prayer of faith together. I mean a prayer of deliverance and victory. If you've lifted your hand, would you make a step of boldness to God this morning? We want to pray together. Would you come on right and sing it? Howdy. Come on. Broken pieces. Ruin lives of life. He died on Calvary. Hallelujah. Who else this morning, if you lifted your hand? Oh, come on, let's believe God together. Come on this morning. Hallelujah. He has given life to me. I'd like to several of you just together in around behind these good folks today. Would you folks come on? Hallelujah. I want Pastor Whitlow and I want to believe God together this morning. There's some needs here. There's people that have needs. I want us to believe God together this morning. Would you just stretch your hands out towards them in faith and victory with us? Come on, everybody. Let's believe God. Everybody lift your hands and let's praise the Lord. All over this building, let's worship God. Let's magnify Him. Let's praise Him. Father, I love you. I thank you for victory. There's some God that is standing in this congregation. God, that need a touch of your spirit. That God need a ministry to their spirit. Oh God, I pray right now that your Holy Ghost would become alive within them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, I want to tell you, I'm believing God for some great things this week. I know we have revivals that come and go, but I'm really believing God that the Holy Spirit will minister. Amen. Amen. I want you to be here every night. Make your mind up that you're going to get in, that you're going to let God do something within you. We had good crowds all last time we were here. Let's believe God for some great things this week. Be back tonight. I'm going to be believing God that the Holy Spirit will help us to say, Pastor, what needs to be said. We love you. Pastor, God bless you. I just feel...